is Racing Heartland. This is the only program dedicated to Victorian country racing. Welcome to the Country Racing Show. It's got it all.
I can feel this day. I can see this day. It's got it all.
And g'day from JT and welcome to another edition of the Country Racing Show here on RSN 927. A big, big day for country racing because we have a standalone Saturday at Marvellous Bendigo, the nursery of champions. So to Sue Opie and all the team up there at Bendigo, we wish you all the best for your big day today, cracking day of racing. Let's welcome in the team, Maggie Payne. Hello, Maggie.
Hi, JT. How are you going?
Good, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, great, thank you.
Connor Ryan, as always. How are you, Connor?
I'm very well, thanks, John. It's good to be back.
Still no Darren?
No, he's just sunning himself off in Thailand at the moment. So not too much interest in the Golden Mile race day.
Lifestyles of the rich and famous.
I know. It's hard being a Group 1 owner and, you know, just having horses here and there. And he probably loses track of how many runners he's got. He had one packing the other night. It went absolutely terribly, but he was due a bad one. So, just working on his tan. Half his luck.
Lifestyles of the rich and famous.
Yeah, the rest of us will just stick here and do the work, won't we, JT?
And plenty to talk about.
On the Country Racing Show, the Country Racing Week that was.
It's an old hackneyed comment. It's been a big week in country racing, but it just keeps on rolling out. The country cups, the crowds, whether it's picnics or the tab meetings, and the action on the track has just been super.
Yeah, Eddie Maguire, eat your heart out. It's been a big week in country racing. But, we knew that. We had a good chat to Lance Huebner last week, Mr. Warwick Nabil, and he was very excited about the Warwick Nabil Cup, which is, of course, on the Saturday. And, look, it was a good day for the town. I think they got a good crowd out there and some nice racing across the card. And the cup itself went home with Paul Pruska, who tends to win a few country cups around the place, doesn't he?
Tends to.
At the 200, Rock for the Ladies, Capolenko from Straight Jacket, Radical deeper out. Capolenko and Rock for the Ladies from Radical with 100 to go. Capolenko and Rock for the Ladies, not much in a Capolenko. Yes, Capolenko.
And, of course, very rare to see Darren Weir take home second prize.
Yeah, he's won the Warwick Nabil Cup a few times in recent
just
years.
Just quietly,
and,
yeah.
And likes it up that way, and obviously sort of from the districts that he hails from, so it's one of those cups he likes to win, and he was just off it with Rock for the Ladies, Jared Lorenzini in the saddle there. But Capolenko started favourite for the race and took a few bumps on the way home too, so it was a pretty tough win. So good effort by Capolenko, Dean Holland in the saddle there, and a few others on the day. Geelong trainer Mark Young scored a treble, all of those in the Rosemont stud colours. So nice day out for him. And Simon Wilde had a couple of wins with Craig Robertson in the saddle as well. So nice days racing out at Warwick Nabil.
Did you see that?
It wasn't the only cup on the day, was it, Connor?
No, it wasn't. And we went to Kerrang for the Kerrang Cup as well. And this one was actually the first race on the card. I was unaware of this. There's actually a bloke that trains out of Kerrang. His name's John Matheson. So Kerrang Cup Day, it's effectively his grand final day. He's only got the one horse in work. His name's Jittery Jack. He was lined up for race one on the card at Kerrang and absolutely did the business. Came out and smashed them by 3 lengths, and there was $11 on offer for the locals too. So I reckon if they got behind him, they would have had a pretty nice day.
That's always nice when you see those double-figure odds. What else happened at the Kerrang Cup meeting, Maggie?
Yeah, so it was a great start to the day of the Kerrang Cup. But we talk about Courtney Pace a lot on the program, especially talking about picnic racing. But our old man Arthur trained a winner at Kerrang with Hey Handsome. So that was a good talking point from Kerrang. And obviously the feature of the day was a big highlight for the Kerrang locals, and it went home with Eric Musgrove.
Where to look here? Blue Jangles is still there. Corporate Takeover went through to try and take Free Willy. Mr. 111 is wide out though, and then further back on the fence, Tristram Sun. Mr. 111 after Corporate Takeover, and he got him. Mr. 111 wins the Club Barham Kerrang Cup.
Mr. 111 just pipped Corporate Takeover there, who was a fancy runner out of Austie Coffee stable. But he had a great weekend, Eric Musgrove, obviously champions jumps trainer, and headed to Oakbank over the weekend. And I think a lot of his horses will feature for Warrnambool.
But yeah, he knows how to train a jumper too, does Eric Musgrove. Been doing it a long time. But look, it was a good win. It was nice to see the old fella Tristram Sun put in a good effort as well. He's run around in a few country cups without much luck. So an improved effort from him, so good to see.
Balnarring also had a picnic race day on Saturday.
Yeah, it was the first of three picnic meetings across the weekend. So obviously getting towards the very pointy end of the picnic season, and we'll have a chat about all things picnic with our Spinning a Yarn guest, Benny Spall, shortly on the show. But look, it was a good day at Balnarring to kick the weekend off. The picnic jockey premiership has been a big feature in the last few weeks of the season, and Courtney Pace went into the weekend with a one-win lead on Toby Lake, and they took out the first two wins on the card each, so it looked like it was going to be a ding-dong battle, but then didn't win again for the rest of the day. So good day for Lee Taylor, who rode a double late on, and including one on Delightful Spirit, which moved to five wins for the season. So now there's a four-way tie at the top for most wins for the picnic horse of the year. So with one more meeting to go this today at Healesville, actually, it's all systems go. It's going to be an absolute belter.
All right, Easter Sunday, which was April Fool's Day, it was the big day for stall. Of course, they had the gift on the Monday, but they had their stall cup for the thoroughbreds on the Sunday, Maggie.
It was a big weekend for stall, and the first running of the Stuart McGregor Stall Cup. So, yeah, they had a great turnout there and lots of egg and spoon races to celebrate Easter, and hopefully the Easter Bunny found the stall locals. But the cup didn't stay in Victoria. It went back to South Australia with gun rider Jamie Lee Carr.
Silent Warrior, the South Aussie, took the lead on the home turn. Andrea Mantegna trying to peg him back with Ivan Grozny running a race. Then Magna Pal and Swazadelic's about to hook out. Dangle Lad ran up behind them. It's Silent Warrior, though, at the 200. He skipped a couple in front of Ivan Grozny. Swazadelic, gold medals coming from the back, but it's all Silent Warrior. Flying Swazadelic to second, but Silent Warrior wins the Stuart McGregor Stall Gold Cup in a cakewalk at the end by three.
A cakewalk in the end. It was a great front-running ride from Jamie the Carr, or the Rolls-Royce, as we call her, Connor.
She's very good, John.
She's a great jockey, Jamie Carr.
She is great. She just, I don't know, they just seem to want to win for her, don't they? And it was no different at stall on Sunday, and Jordan Childs rode a double and Daniel Moore, so doubles all round at stall on Sunday.
She reminds me very much of when Beverly Buckingham was in her prime. The horses, for some reason, Maggie, just seem to go for her. They find an extra length.
And some of those top jockeys, and you know, around the country and metro circuits, they do. It's just that connection with a horse, or
agreed,
it's just the horsemanship. And we'll speak about Mansfield Cup trainer Gerald Egan, but he has that aura and that horsemanship about him. It's something special that I never seem to grab.
And Swifts Creek had their big day too on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. So the final high country picnic meeting for the season, and it's Reg Manning territory up there. We spoke to Reg earlier in the year about his love of the picnics, and especially up in the high country, and he always gets his horses up for these meetings, and it was no different at Swifts Creek. He trained a double for the day, so Carew's Controls and Bilby, which is, I think, four wins for the season for Bilby, so great effort by Reg there. And maybe the biggest omen bet of the year was in race one, Faith in Beers. I imagine there would have been more than a few people up at Swifts Creek who put their faith in Beers on Saturday. Sunday, I should say, actually, Easter Sunday. But anyway, it was a good day for Courtney Pace. She rode a double on Faith in Beers, and also in the cup on Victorian Crown for Russell Green.
They swing into the straight in the cup, and out wide on the track now, going up to grab the leaders, Victorian Crown fighting back, Don't Shoot. They settle down to fight it out. Victorian Crown going home a bit the better and wins the cup.
So it was a win there for Courtney Pace, just ahead of Toby Lake, who didn't have such a good day. He had one winner, but he was on 4 seconds. So could have been a game changer for him in the premiership, but wasn't quite to be.
Then we went to Easter Monday, and Mansfield in the high country, man from Snowy River country, had their big day, Maggie.
They did, and it looked like a great day out at Mansfield. They do a great job, all the team out there, and it was a great card as well. So nice way to finish the weekend with the triple running of the picnics. But one of the races that caught my eye, B. Maridan won the first, and like you say, not all that impressive until you check the form, because he ran a second at Swifts Creek the day before, so I don't know how far it is between the two.
That's a fair journey, isn't it?
I think it's about 4 or 5 hours. So it's a good effort by B. Maridan, who's been he's been prominent in the picnic circuit across the year, so good
to
see.
And it was an important win too for the Kilgowers, who are of course leading the trainers' premiership, and I think that win might have put them out 3 wins on Barry Goodwin. So they'll go into the weekend in a very strong position to claim that title, which is great for Troy and John Kilgour. And I think the cup winner on the day at Mansfield would have been a very popular one, as it went to the local man, Gerald Egan.
They've got 200 metres left to go. Dakota's the leader, but it's under siege. Diamond Warrior's coming out after it. Dakota's in front. Diamond Warrior's trying hard, but it's a local cup win. Dakota goes on and wins.
And what a terrific call, John.
Sensational call.
Anyway, so it was a win for Gerald Egan and Dakota and Courtney Pace in the saddle again. So she got the two cups on offer across the weekend and emerged from the three meetings with, I think it was a two win lead on Toby Lake in the premiership. So she'll go into Healesville today. I reckon just one win will probably do the job for her. Yeah. So defending her premiership for last year, and she's won it twice. So also a special mention to Gerald Egan. He doesn't just train at a Mansfield and teach the best jockeys around how to do their thing. He also maintains the track. So I think a very deserving Mansfield Cup winner in Dakota.
16th Mansfield Cup that was for Gerald on the weekend.
16th.
So that's a great effort. And also a little shout out, also Easter Monday at Sandown. Deanne Taylor, friend of the Country Racing Show, trained her first Metro winner with Silence the Stars with Craig Williams aboard. So congratulations, Deanne.
Big, big, big thrill. And I'm just trying to picture Gerald's mantelpiece with all those 16 cups on there. I'm sure they're very treasured pieces of silverware. Good on you, Gerald. Well played. What about Tuesday at Dowling Forest?
Yeah, we've had a few Tuesday meetings at Ballarat. Seems to be a pretty regular occurrence these days. And persistence pays for me here. I got the maiden win at attempt number 14, which is probably more chances than most DK Weir horses get. So I think the owners must be on the inner circle there, but anyway, got the win, and Weary had an early double with Chavot in race two and made it a treble later on with Double the Magic. So that was a good effort, because I think last week we noted he didn't have a winner at Ballarat, which is extremely rare. So
yes.
Just back to normal transmission this
he
week with the three winners.
To the show and fought back.
Oh, that's clearly what happened. Like, that's definitely it. And race three was a bit of a strange one. Osmium won race three, or I suppose I should say it was Rock With You, I think, at the time. We went back and had a look at the results the following day, and it was no longer Rock With You. So I think there was an issue with the name of the horse, because there's another horse called Rock With You. Just spelt differently. Anyway, so the owners were requested to change it, and it turns out Osmium was the winner of the race. So
if you put Rock With You down in your black book, you might have to change
yeah,
it.
Just note that one. For,
you might be following the Corstman's horse.
Yeah, exactly.
The vagaries of the stud book just brings back memories of the naming of Century. It took them 100 times before they got the name correct.
That's a Darren Galley quality joke,
That is just showing my age.
And I really thought we'd leave those
I'm going to stand
behind,
in
John.
The corner doubles to Jay Mott and Dee Yendall on Tuesday as well. Riding very well is Jay Mott, particularly over the jumps. All right, Wednesday at Sale, midweek card. It was a strong card, good racing, guys.
Yeah, obviously Sale's a great racetrack and one very popular one with trainers and jockeys alike, so it tends to attract good horses. And unfortunately, Lagerfeld continues to disappoint. He's a horse that came out at very short odds and didn't win in the first couple of starts, and then eventually got there at Sale last time around, went around again, pretty short odds, and disappointed again. So beaten by a good-looking sword in Eagle Ridge for the Moroni, so... anyway, I think Lagerfeld will work it out eventually, but seems a bit of an almost horse at the moment. So disappointing for followers. And it was his first start under Kieran Maher, who's obviously back in action too. So Kieran knows what he's doing, so he'll have the horse ready to win pretty shortly, I'd say. And also notable that the King, Noel Callow, back in action in Victoria and rode a winner for Rob Hickmott and put on a bit of a show for the interview afterwards, as he likes to do. So it's good to have Noel back in action. He's quite a character, and obviously, we're not short on characters in racing in Victoria, so the more the merrier, I say.
Yeah, good jockey. And Callow, Thursday, we headed in the day, Maggie, to Benalla.
We did. We headed up the Hume to Benalla, and it was a good day there. A few wins for the locals with the Ledger team saluting, but Gerald Egan took out the first on the card with Radiant Warrior, and also Mansfield Cup winner Dakota backed up to run third in race six. So, and a couple wins for champion jockey Linda Meach, so that put her ahead of the country jockey premiership, just one ahead. So it was a good day at Benalla, wasn't it?
Yeah, so she's reclaimed the lead in the country jockey premiership from Jamie Mott by by one win, I think it is. Not updated for Thursday-Friday results yet, but obviously a very tight race at the top, and Damien Thornton doing what he can to close that gap as well, so it might end up a race in three by the time the season's done. Anyway, it was Thursday night at Racing.com Park, Ollie riding winners for MG Price, business as usual, and a very pleasant evening for the followers of the Bussard and Young stable. Their horse, named Pleasant, was very well backed in race six. I think it jumped at about $2 and put six lengths on him. It was absolutely classes above the other horses in the race. It was only a class one, but looks a classy horse and one to follow, and reward for the punters who well supported it. So it was a nice night at Pakenham.
All right, put a ring around Pleasant as a horse to follow from Thursday night. We'll take a break here on RSN 927. You're tuned to the Country Racing Show. The other side of this break, we're going to spin a yarn.
From Victoria's racing heartland, the Country Racing Show. The people at the grassroots of racing. We're spinning a yarn on the Country Racing Show.
All right, now usually we have a telephone hookup here, Maggie and Connor, with our spinning a yarn, but we're actually privileged to have our spinning a yarn guest in studio, young Ben Spall, who we just had a little grab of calling during last weekend, and he does a fine job calling, but he also works out at Moonee Valley. But we're going to find a lot more out about this young man as he joins us on Spinning a Yarn here on the Country Racing Show. How are you, Ben?
Fantastic. Great to be with you. And what's the eve of a pretty big weekend of country racing, isn't it?
Massive day up at Bendigo. So tell us about yourself. You work as one of the marketing team out at Moonee Valley, but you've got a bit of a passion for race calling. How did that start?
That's right. I only had to duck up the road to come into the studio here today. But yeah, probably started for me very young, when I was riding the streets of Bendigo on my scooter, calling the races to myself. And as a reluctant 15-year-old, my father took me out to the Bendigo Greyhound Trials and said, I think it's about time you give this a spin. So that I did, and that led to harness trials. But my passion was always for the gallops, and I still remember it to this day. I was 15, and a horse of Dan O'Sullivan's won at St Arnold, which is my father's hometown. So that was my first call. Lockie McIntosh was calling the races that day and showed me the ropes, and began from there.
Now, you got your start at St Arnold, but obviously for young people trying to make their way as a race caller, it's about getting your reps in, isn't it, and trying to find as many places as you can to call a race and get your practice in. How did you build up your race calling skills?
That was through the Picnic Racing Circuit, Connor. So I went to my first full card, probably come a couple of months later, at Alexandra, when I started race calling at the Picnics. Adam Olzanski and Edward Sadler, who's now working in Hong Kong, they sort of shared the duties between them. One of the days they couldn't rock up. So Alexandra was the starting point for me, and a tricky one at that. For those that haven't been to Alexandra, the golf course sits on the inside, and they love their greenery, if you like, at Alexandra. There are plenty of trees to overcome. And I think that's why the Picnics has been a great spot for me to learn, because they're relying on the race caller heavily at the Picnic race meetings. If you go to the city, to be honest, you know, people at home have probably got a better view than what Matt Hill does. But in the case of me, I've probably got the best view at the house in these Picnic meetings, which sometimes you wouldn't think's the best view in the house, like I said. But they rely on you heavily to get it right, because, you know, they don't have big screens a lot of the time, and, you know, you're sort of, there's no big grandstands to go and view the races. So it's been a terrific spot for me to learn my craft, because it certainly teaches you to be accurate.
And we heard you calling the Mansfield Cup earlier in the show. What are some of the meetings that are on your card at the moment? Where do you get to call?
The Maroondah Highway is my sort of neck of the woods, Connor, to be honest. So I call it Yay and Alexandra, Mansfield as well, and then do the Merton New Year's Day meeting, which is also a big one. So they're sort of the lock-in regulars for me year-round, which keeps me fairly busy. And then quite often go to a Woolamine, Belnarring, and help out where need be if Adam O or somebody has the racing.com duties. So I think at last count I called it 18 tracks or something in my time. So it's slowly creeping up.
It is, and you talk about being the voice for the people at some of these tracks, Ben, but how much work, and I know over the last few months we've been enthralled in the Picnic season because it has been so competitive, but how much work goes into before calling one of these big race meetings?
Yeah, the same work that would probably go into for a normal race meeting, to be honest. As you'll see, a lot of the horses on a Saturday continue to come back at metropolitan level, no different to the Picnics. We see this Picnic Horse of the Year title. You know, these horses are going around quite a lot. You get to know them quite well. The start of the season's always interesting, the new faces, the new horses and whatnot. But once acceptances come out on the Thursday, the hard work begins there, studying the form. And like I said, as the season comes towards a close, you've pretty much got your head around, you know, the jockeys and your main horses, and they've been going around for the weeks and months previous. So It's always interesting, the Picnic Grand Final, which we have coming up shortly too at Cranbourne, those Corinthian races. The start of the season, you've got to try and be on the horses that are up and ready. And at the end of the season, you've got to try and be on the horses that aren't losing their touch and on the way down. It's a long season between October through to Easter. A lot of the Picnic horses can't stay up for the whole time. In saying that, My Running Mate has been a classic example this year for Keldon Southey. He's a horse who, I think he was at one of the very first meetings, and he's going to go around on Saturday. So you've got to be wary of that.
Yeah, you do. And you speak about following these horses. You've got a few horses yourself, and you called a winner. How do you go? I know a few race callers are in sometimes getting a bit of trouble of calling through their pocket, but how did you go calling your own horse?
I was certainly calling through my pocket that day. I can tell you that for sure. I think she was backed into about $1.40. Ebony Royal's the horse that I speak of. A couple of the guys at Moonee Valley came with me a few times last year, and like everybody does with the Picnics, they just loved it, and they got back into the car and they said, we need a horse for next year. So Toby Lake, who's a mate of mine, he was set the task to try and find us a horse, and he found us Ebony Royal, and we twisted Shane Fleedner's arm into going to the Picnics for the first time in his 20-odd year training career. And credit to Toby, he rides a track work, and he just said this thing should not be getting beaten. So as the plunge was coming off, I was landing the colours, and I think 2.80 into about $1.30, and away we went, and she got the job done, thankfully, but we've tipped a little bit back in since.
It was a bit of just a tingle of excitement in the voice as you called the win. I did note that, but fair enough too, because it's an exciting thing to own a winner. And it's funny you mentioned before about the Picnic Circuit, see a lot of the horses coming back. You know, it's a pretty small community. I imagine you get to know a lot of the participants because it's the same people, you know, coming up every week with the same horses, and there's a real community around that Picnic racing scene, isn't there?
Absolutely. I think you've only got to go to the Picnics a couple of times, and before you know it, you've got your head around the trainers and the jockeys, even your bookmakers and the like, and the people that run the race clubs put so much hard work into these days. And you'll often see that, you know, the people from one race club to another will go around and do the circuit as well. And try and, I suppose, learn what the other clubs are doing, also support. There's a great sense of supporting each other in these in the Picnic racing district. So, yeah, great sense of camaraderie, and I think that's probably one of the main things what makes it so popular, to be honest.
Getting to your job out of the valley, Ben, you guys have absolutely been given a gift with Winx coming back now for potentially a record fourth Cox Plate victory. It's hard to see her getting rolled even this far out. Must be an absolute joy to market that.
Absolutely. I think the CEO, Michael Brown, probably put it pretty well last week, or when it was announced, he had the bottle of the champagne and put that out on Twitter. That was sort of what it was like out there at the Valley. I've worked at Moonee Valley for 3 years and worked through three Winx Cox Plates, so I don't know what the Cox Plate is like without Winx. Hopefully that will become a fourth one. So no, it's an absolute dream. There's a lot of pressure that comes with it as well. But hopefully we can find how we can squeeze a few more into the Valley come the last Saturday in October.
Now, is that your backup plan? I mean, is your ultimate ambition to find full-time work as a race caller?
Oh, I'd love to find work as a race caller, to be honest, but complementary roles in the industry as well. You know, I'm quite happy to do that too. As you know, race calling jobs don't come around the corner every day. So as opposed to packing supermarket shelves and sitting in the waiting for somebody to hang up the binoculars, it was a decision I made. I didn't go to university and went straight out of high school to go work in the racing industry. So it's all I've ever worked in, and plan on continuing to do it. If the door opened as the race caller one day, sure, I'd certainly look at it. But for now, it's a pretty exciting time to be at the Valley.
Last question before we let you go, Benny. Which race caller do you style yourself on?
Well, listening to that Mansfield race caller sound a little bit like Rick McIntosh, didn't it? Rick, I grew up with in Bendigo. Rick's a fellow Bendigo boy, so him, but growing up, Brian Martin was the man for me. As a kid, riding around on the scooter, as I said, BM was the man that I prided myself on. He called Fields of Omar. I went into Cox Plate. There's not much different to Ebony Royal at Yay, is there? But no. BM was the man for me. And Greg Miles, of course. I sort of can't remember anyone being in that top job until Matt stepped in. He was a big part of my childhood as well. But you certainly can learn a lot from listening to the best.
Hey, Ben, thanks for coming into our studios this morning, and good luck with the calling, and we look forward to the mighty Winx winning Cox Plate number 4.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks, John. Thanks, guys.
I'm on the road again. It's where I want to be. Here's what's coming up in the country calendar on the road ahead.
And as always, it's another well-worn line. There's plenty coming up. Where are we off to? Well, we know where we're off to today. Bendigo's big standalone meeting, Connor.
Yeah, all about Bendigo today, which is obviously a huge event for the town of Bendigo. And we love the standalone Metropolitan Country Race Days. They're obviously terrific. Huge prize money across the day. There's $250,000 on offer for the two-year-olds in the Vobis Gold Rush. There's the guineas, there's the gold bracelet and the gold mile itself. So terrific racing across the day at Bendigo. Really strong field, some quality horses going up there, and just a terrific day for country racing as a whole. Really exciting.
It's interesting how New South Wales followed us, and now they've got Hawkesbury and Scone, and we've got Bendigo, Mornington and Ballarat.
Well, I know where I'd rather be.
Absolutely. Bendigo today.
Where else? Nursery of champions.
Where else are we headed to today, Maggie?
We're also, as we've spoke about earlier in the show, we're finishing up our picnic circuit at Hillsville. So stay tuned. Lots of records to be broken, and trainer premierships and jockey premierships. So that's exciting. And we're also racing at Werribee. So autumn racing at Werribee if you're not going to Bendigo today. And then we're going to Sunday to wrap up the weekend. We're heading to Ballarat to support your local firefighters race day at Ballarat, and also Echuca.
And the rest of the week, we're around at, on at Moe on Monday, midweek racing at Seymour on Tuesday. Wednesday, we take a rest. It's for City Racing. Thursday, Kilmore and Racing.com Park at night. Friday, Wangaratta. And Friday night, back at Cranbourne. And you didn't mention before, Maggie, today at Healesville was the time-honoured Golden Thong race day. The Golden Thong is up for grabs. So one of the great treasures in the racing game, of course, up there with the Cox Plate and the other Blue Diamond and the like, the Golden Thong. So it'll be
Victoria Derby, Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. Just the real treasures that you want to have on the mantelpiece. So,
well, to be fair, a German Derby runner is running at Hillsville today, Summer Nordstrom. So
it's actually
keep your eyes peeled.
It'll be a terrific day out there. There's four horses chasing a win to claim the title of Horse of the Year, and three of them are in the same race. So worth watching.
Weather looks fine, so good luck to the team up at Hillsville. Always a great day out.
Panning for punting gold this weekend. The Country Racing Show loads up with Victoria's best bet.
All right, we need to make some money for our dedicated listeners. Connor, who's your tip?
Look, I'm probably not going to say he's going to win, but my horse Dry Creek Road's going around in race two at Bendigo today. I tipped him to the listeners last time and he won at about $18. So
$31 with tab.
I've got some goodwill in the bank. Anyway, he's actually, the form has been franked from that win because Gerald Egan's horse, Radiant Warrior, won at Benalla during the week, and we beat him last time. So good to see that that's been franked. He probably won't win because there's some good horses in the race, but he might run a cheeky race for a place. So you'll get $7.50 the place at the moment, which is pretty good odds. So just see how he goes. Dry Creek Road, race two, number seven.
Maggie?
Well, you've got a classified city runner then, Connor, under your belt. I'm also heading to Bendigo today, and obviously I'm going to stick with the feature, the Bet365 Golden Mile, and it seems a really tough race to pick, but lots of great runners there, but I'm going to go a bit wide, and number five, Seaburge, out of the Hayes stable. They've got a few runners in the race, and they're never too far off the money, obviously, but I'm going to stick with Seaburge, coming off a good run at Flemington. You've got to remember, Group 1 place. So, Jordan Child's on board, last year's country racing apprentice, so hopefully go good in the mile today.
About $14 fixed with a tab. I'm tipping in the time on an RSN 927 benchmark handicap, the last. I think King's Command, drawn a little wide, but all these rivals are too, so they might be getting off the track by that stage. Benny Thompson in good form, about $4.60 fixed. So King's Command, race 9, number 5 will do me. Hey, guys, that's our show.
It's a good show, I reckon.
Yeah. Great to have young Ben in the studio. Fine young man, good caller with a great future.
Young man going places. That's what we like to see.
Have a good weekend, Maggie.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, JT.
And you too, Connor.
See you next week.
And we'll talk shortly, next week, in fact, on the Country Racing Show. I can feel
this
day. I can
see this day. It's got it all. This is the only program dedicated to Victorian country racing. The Country Racing Show.